We say thank you. We magnify your name. And we give you all the glory.
Hallelujah.
Testify of your faithfulness. From a grateful heart, we come before you this morning, and we give you all praise, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And welcome to church. Sister Jerry says this is our sound, so I'll manage it. Hallelujah. You're welcome to the first Sunday of the month of February. That's how they say I sound. Are we? Yeah, no problem. We're enjoying it. Amen. This is church. It's family meeting. You're supposed to send questions so that we can answer. I'm not kidding. No, that's why I've left the pulpit for you. I don't like the way I'm sounding. So, or you come and switch off this guy. I don't like the way I'm sounding. When I talk, I don't listen to myself. So if I hear myself talking, I just switch it off. Thank you. Better. Good morning, sir. How are you? Happy New Year. God bless you. Amen. Now, who don't know? Don't mind them. Amen. So it's family meeting, and we're supposed to take questions. We're supposed to be a family. Hallelujah. And as a family, we just make things plain. You have any testimonies? Anyone? I'll just take two this morning. If there's those testimonies, then we go to the word. Because you have no questions. All of you are super students. Amen. You have a testimony? Okay, please, Toby, come.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Ni wo mako. Hallelujah. Si wo lorun mi. Ori hallelujah. Ni wo ba won torun ko. Hallelujah. I just want to give God the glory. I just want to appreciate him for the mighty works he has been doing. So the middle of January, somebody very close to me, I Because normally, whenever I sleep, after reading my Bible from my phone, I just put it close to me. But my battery was very low, so I just had to transfer it to the... I've started stealing phone in my area. So I had to move my phone to somewhere else to charge. Then when I wake up in the morning on Sunday, I noticed that I've missed a call around 4 a.m. So, and it's unusual of the person to call me at that hour. So when I was on my way to church, and then when I got to church, and I called the person that I missed your call, what happened? He said in the middle of the night that their house catch fire. And the entire sitting room got burnt. And normally, he doesn't sleep early on time. So he sleeps like maybe around 4 a.m. and so. But I don't know what happened. He was just fortunate for him to wake up at that time. And that was just the right time he could have woken up. If not, the smoke would have just killed both him and the brother inside the house. So I just want to appreciate the name of the Lord, because God is always on time. He was awake at that particular time where he even opened, because they have a separate room. He opened his own room and the door to his room, and immediately opened, everywhere was already filled with fire. The entire everything they have in that sitting room got burnt into ashes. But I just thank the name of the Lord, because both him and even the brother, they were able to come out of that fire alive. And I just appreciate the name of the Lord for this. Thank you.
Hallelujah. God is always, always on time. Amen. Hallelujah. Mr. Sajiri.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. First, I want to thank God for my mom. Not too long ago, they didn't even really tell me on time. Doctor said she was going to undergo surgery. But I want to give God praise, because we just, the help of local therapy, massage and all that, her knees are fine now. And in fact, at a point, they used this, you know, this local way of tying the leg, you know, and stuff like that when there's dislocation. And she's fine. The speed of the healing was amazing. And then each time she calls, she would tell me the progress. I have not really taken it too seriously, but I just thought of it. I said, considering our age, it's just the grace of God that has made this happen. And I just want to give God praise for it too. The second thing is that God had to, you know, when you are hit with a terrible blow, and then God had to take you through a healing process, and I take you by the hand and say, I'm taking you step by step. I'm healing you. I'm making you stronger, because there are people tied to you from whom, from you, they get encouragement. From you, they get strength. I just want to give God praise for that hope. That hope, not Nigeria, you renewed hope. That godly renewed hope. That one that is divine, that comes from him. I just want to give God praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We bless God for your testimonies. Any other one? Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we give you all the praise. We thank you. And we go into your word. Thank you, because indeed you expound your word to us. And you make us to understand the things that you will have us know and do as we walk with you. In Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 19, no, chapter 1, sorry. I'm going to read from verse 9, and I'll stop at verse 18. Okay, so the Bible says, the Bible records, verse 9. It says, so Anna arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now the priest Eli was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli washed her mouth. Now Anna spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Anna answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Amen. Her face was no longer sad. God answers prayers. Amen. God answers prayers. It's a very popular story. But what struck me there was that in the first instance, if you read the Bible, she was being provoked by Penina, and she was being taunted. And that's what happens when people are in competition. If one is having an upper hand, the one that has the upper hand will always forget that whatever you have is given to you by God. They always forget. And that's why I like my alma mater. In our school anthem, I hope your school has an anthem. The school you went to, my school has anthem. Why are you laughing? So in our school anthem, it says, when you win, be not proud. Never be conceited. Okay? It says, that was primary school I went to. In the secondary school I went to, they taught about service. That is, when you think that you have an upper hand, calm down and help the other ones. Amen. So life is not about you. It's about what God has made you to be able to do. So Penina was always making fun of Anna. And then the Bible records here in verse 10 that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She was in bitterness of soul, prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. The mood in which she went to God is not a problem. Hallelujah. Because she understood the fact that in this state of mind, there is no other option except to go to God. Amen. And it's been happening year after year. Okay? But she did not depart from the way of God. And it's very important. The Bible says she went in anguish of spirit, she was sorrowful, but then she went to God. And she poured out her heart to God. Hallelujah. Kenny. And Eli saw her and thought that she was drunk. Why? Because she was not shouting. Because she was not shouting. Hallelujah. The mode, you see, the way you approach God is dependent on your state of mind. At that point, she was at her lowest ebb. I mean, she had had it up to, when you say you have had it up to here, she was at her lowest ebb. All the energy that was left in her, she could only just say God. And then she was just talking within her spirit. And then the Bible says, in the last verse that I read, verse 18, and she said, Let your maid servant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hallelujah. When we talk about it, so we've been in meetings and people tell you that you pray until you pray through, until you have a release. Hallelujah. This is an example of you praying until you have a release. So she was in anguish of soul. She was praying and she was having a fantastic discussion with God, telling God that if this will happen, then this is what I will do. Hallelujah. Okay? But the Bible says it was in anguish. But did she leave the presence of God with that anguish? The Bible said she left a happy woman. That means that in that place of prayer, there would have been a conviction for her that all I have done today, that I've heard. And the Bible didn't record how she had prayed in time past. But this particular one, for the Bible to have recorded it, is because it's significant. Probably the last one before Samuel was born. But also it's significant in the fact that the way she went in prayer was not the way she came out. Hallelujah. She went in looking for a son. She came out happy. Because in the place of prayer, she received what she wanted. Amen. If you go to the book of John, John chapter 11. From verse 41. Okay, let me take it from verse 40. So it says, then Jesus said to her, John 11 from verse 40. So then Jesus said to her, did I not say that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Amen. Your stronghold is in your place of prayer. Hallelujah. If you say you are a strong man, let it be that you are strong in praying, in communion with God, and not leaving his presence until you have a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Anna could get up. She didn't have a physical child in her hand, but she knew that what she had done was satisfying to her spirit, and she left the presence of God. Jesus was saying here in the case of Lazarus, Father, I thank you for you hear me always. That means that at the point he was saying that prayer, that as the point he was saying this sentence, he had prayed before. Amen. Hallelujah. And he was only coming to demonstrate that the power of God is still very much alive. Amen. If you read the Bible, it says that if you read from previous verses, he talked about the fact that as he was going, he groaned in the spirit. I mean, Christ prayed in the spirit as he was going to Lazarus' place. But then he says here that at the point that miracle was going to manifest, because it was not at that point that the miracle was done, he had prayed. Hallelujah. All he needed to come and do was issue that command, and Lazarus will come forth. Hallelujah. There is no magic with God. If there is no sowing, there is no reaping. He has said it that as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will not cease. He said seed time and harvest will not cease. So there is always a point where you must sow those seeds. Now, a lot of people these days, because of the pressure of the end time, a lot of people will say, not everything is prayer. Right? And then they begin to walk their walk. Are we not where we are today? As a country, are we not where we are today? Because we believe in the power of the arm of flesh. Abi, that's what has happened to us. But when we say on the pulpit or in the church that we should pray, they say, is it, why are you people so, they will tell you that why are you people so gullible? They will say the Western world have come to show us and teach us what is not. But I tell you that if you look at from January 2023 to February 2024, it has not been for you and I, it has not been what the economy is determining. Except I'm wrong. It has not been by what the economy is. If they move everything they are moving, they move it wherever it is going. We are, our source is from above. Hallelujah. We are strong in the place of prayer because there we will receive comfort and there we receive instructions. Hallelujah. And what every other person will be seeing, they will term it as a miracle. But we know it's because we hold on to God and understand that everything exists, everything subsists in Him. Amen. If there's any lack, it's not in man. And until men realize that, okay, they say, is everyone going to send money if you don't need money? Everyone will send money if you need money. How everyone will send money is dependent on how your relationship with everyone is. Amen. This Thursday, I was telling you that, was it Thursday? Was it Thursday I was telling you that I left with zero cover? It was Thursday. And since that Thursday, every day, somebody sends me money. Without me asking. Amen. I don't ask you. You don't send me money. And I'm going to spend that money. I will spend that money without thinking. And then somebody else will spend. Send another one for the next venture without me asking. Because I got to a point in prayer that the Lord said, do not withhold anything you want to do, do it. So, like I told you in December, that it has always been that you calculate. Let me tell you, ministers are human beings. Some people may have billions, so, but this one I'm telling you, so that you know that you and I are the same. Abi, let me say, if your pastor does not have money, I have money, because God provides every day. You know, some people, when their pastors have bullion, they have G-Wagon, no problem. That's their own dinari with God. Abi, this is my own dinari, is that anytime I need it, you provide. That's what we were reading this morning in the book of Matthew. It's not, if I see somebody driving, I told you the other day, my brother-in-law's car, he doesn't need to step on brake. If his car sees that there's danger, his car will stop. Are you getting me? If his car sees that a goat or anything is passing by, the car will stop. He doesn't need to press brake. You know that man is driving, he will be driving at ease. If they are struggling, he'll just be looking at everybody. His car will stop. That's his own problem with God, though. That's him and God. I'm not saying God give me that kind of cow. But I'm saying that when I step out, when I step out, it will be of blessing. And I'm coming back, it will be of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. That every day, I'll go, I'll come. Whatever I need for that day, he supplies. How he does it, I don't know. Amen. But when you pray to God, just like Anna did, And we'll read James chapter 5. I think, let me display James 5:16. The Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's too much grammar, Abby. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Number one is effectual, is a problem. Number two, fervent is a problem. Number three, prayer is a problem. Number four, righteous is a problem. You know why it's a problem? Because if you don't understand those four words, you will say you have been praying, like Chama was asking this morning, and you are not getting results. The first condition here for anyone to have the first condition is that he must be a righteous man. He must be a righteous man. And this righteous man cannot be praying anyhow. Hallelujah. So the first thing is that, that's why I said all these things are a problem. Because the way they have been arranged, you would think that the first thing is that he has to be effective. No. The first thing is the last that was mentioned. It is all these things that the righteous man does that makes tremendous power available. And on Thursday, I told you that the will of God, the word of God reveals the will of God. And once that will of God is known, then power is available. Amen. Once you know the will of God, finish matter. See, when we were growing up, my sister was the only one before my father died that understood how to get things out of my father. We're three, that understood that if he wanted my father to do anything, she just knew the words to tell him. Because she understood his will. Amen. And so all she needed to do was just talk around his will, and then the man will produce. Me, I didn't understand anything. I just be grumbling. Like, this is my father. He's not doing anything. When my sister goes, she's always getting something. But me, I don't get anything. We're doing two different things. And in my mind, we were doing the same thing. You know the story of the prodigal son? That there were two sons. Then one went to father and said, Oga, divide this thing. In fact, the guy is nice. The guy is very nice because he didn't say, Oga, die. He's nice now. He didn't arrange that his father should die. He just looked at it that with this man, I have inheritance. And then he went to him and placed a demand on his inheritance. It's his father. It is his own. He has that portion for him. And I don't know. Anyway, they say, what's the meaning of inheritance before I say something wrong? What's the meaning of inheritance? Let me look for the meaning of inheritance. Someone look for it. Inheritance. Let me look for it. I'm not very good with English, so it's only nihi, nimi, wa, nihi. That's what I understand. All this English is because of you that I'm struggling. A long time, I never could pray in English. If they go to party, I'll be hiding. They say, pray. I'll just keep quiet. I had to go and learn to pray in English. Oh yeah, now. So he has to die because it becomes an inheritance. And the Bible has defined it for you now. It's your right. Abi? So as I am now, okay, whatever they think I have, before I finish spending it, they will think they know that they have a right in their father. Abi? So this guy went and he placed a demand on whatever his father would give him when the man has gone. And the man was he did not complain. The Bible says that he apportioned it and gave his own portion to him. Meaning that for the other one, he left the other one's own. And that one did not place a demand. Amen. The Bible is very technical.
But it doesn't mean that you should go and misbehave. If you come and ask, all the say, we will share it together. So you pay. I was in one burial on Friday. And they said the guy, the son should come and talk about his father. And the first thing he said is that if my father owes anybody money, they should come forward that he will pay. That's what he was telling them. And I was laughing. But he says he knows that his father cannot owe. I said, this guy, you are living dangerously. Happy grandpa. Is he everything that you go fetch for your family that they know you got? No. Anyway, that's besides the point. I was just laughing at this guy. Somebody comes and says, you just carry me and everything and go. But so this one, the first one placed a demand and went away and squandered it. And then the second one was at home, very, very pious. No, leave my righteous man here. It's my, so that I won't forget that you are his righteous man that we are coming from. James 5:16. And then when the one we call prodigal son, when he came back, the father took of the father the remaining of the one that didn't ask, he took out of it to welcome the second one. And you know what he told him? He said, this has always been yours. But he's not placing a demand on it. God makes provision for all of us. And until we learn to place a demand on them, we will always be grumbling and saying, he does not like us. Or he's not true to his word. You only have to understand how to place that demand. And the first thing is that he must be a righteous man. Being a righteous man is different from being religious and it's different from being pious. Hallelujah. Someone was saying this morning that God shows mercy to who he will show mercy to. I don't remember who was saying it. Someone was reading. Was it you? Mr. Jerry. And then it clicked in my spirit when she was saying that. That you know what? It's not that all of you, if assuming that side now, all of us are there, then God will now single out one person that this is the one I want to show mercy to. When we write exams, When we write exams, there are conditions that are stipulated for you to gain admission based on that examination. Abi? So they will tell you that if you 7 credits in one exam, then each university comes and says there's a cutoff. And then they tell you that even though there's a cutoff, we have only space for 10 people. And it's based on merit. Just don't worry that we are in Nigeria. Just assume that everything is merit. Okay? Don't worry that we are in Nigeria. Everything is merit. So when everybody goes for that exam, on one condition, for every exam, there's a syllabus. Are you getting me? For every exam, on every subject, there's a syllabus. And it is expected that everybody runs through that syllabus. You are conversant with the syllabus for every subject, and you have gone through it. And when you go for that exam, they are going to test you based on the syllabus for those subjects that you are writing. No one will ask you anything outside it. Now, it's left for you to follow the syllabus. And then go and write your exam. And when the results come out, if you do not meet the requisite, you don't expect to be offered an admission. If God will show mercy to those whom we show mercy to, it's those that have listened and are within the confines of the conditions for them to receive of his mercy. Hallelujah. He's not going to just look down and say, today is divine stone. That's why the Bible says that it's no respecter of persons. Because there are things, conditions to be met in him for you to gain access to all everything he has. Because it's his own desire that all men should be saved, number one. And number two, he says that as long as you walk in the Spirit, you have access to all the spiritual blessings that he has blessed us with. Hallelujah. So if you don't walk in spirit, you don't have access to those things. The one that is having access, and the one that you haven't access is the one that is doing what God has asked him to do in his closet and without his closet. All of what we all see is the man outside. But what everybody does in his closet, nobody knows. Amen. I have a colleague in the office. The guy is not married. He's just alone. So every time we close, if you see the library of books that we have for the work I do, you just pity me, that this man. If you see the volume, but because this guy has no other thing, once he goes from the office, he goes home. When he gets home, he opens his, and he will decide that, okay, I want to study this. And then he begins to study. If we need anything, we'll call the guy. In fact, it's not we, me. I'll call the guy. I'll tell the guy, this thing, I saw this problem. What do you think about it? I'm just using Echo. I know he might not have seen the problem. But I know that once I tell him that I saw this problem, he will go and study it. And then he will be restless until he comes back with an answer. So I just tell him, guy, I will just be discussing with him this problem, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, don't worry. I'll check. I'm done. And assignment is done. I just go and meet him. They will solve their problem. This one will be solving this other problem for me. He will come in 2 hours' time and say, I've seen it, blah, 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 blah. He will show me. And now, whatever he shows me, I begin to work on it. And he says, but it took you so long. He said, what's he doing now? He has nothing to do. Me that I know that he has nothing to do. I gave you work. Amen. So that, grandma is laughing. in this Lagos, me that would drive, and then I will get to study something for 3 hours when other things are pending. And then you look at church outreach, you say, you have to preach. Then I'll be studying one problem that somebody else can solve. No, that won't happen. When you solve it, you will tell me, and then I can do it. Now the Bible says a righteous man. I said, leave the righteous man on the screen. Oh. This is bus stop. This righteous man is the one, a righteous man is not a religious man. You know, being religious is different from finding life in Christ. Amen. We're brought up to be religious. So when we go to church, I'm not saying it's bad. So don't say that I'm condemning anything, but we're brought up to be religious. Speak the truth all the time. When you go to church, if you want to enter that door, you must bow for the door so that the door can open. When you pass anywhere, when service is going on, you must block the door. Then when you are praying, they tell you there's a particular way to pray and all that. I mean, no problem. We've read it that the things that they did, that Moses did, I think we read it last week, the things that Moses did was a shadow of things to come. Hallelujah. But the righteous one is the one that is in right standing with God. Hallelujah. The one that is in right standing with God. That means that God has an expectation for every man. And if you meet that expectation, you will be referred to as righteous. And the first thing that he has said that gives you access to being righteous is that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. As long as we believe in that begotten son, we have transformed ourselves, okay? And then we are labeled righteous. And that's why I said the first condition is that you must be a righteous man. Righteous men have access to God because they have access to Christ. Hallelujah. They are in right standing with God. Amen. He says that effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Another translation says, it makes tremendous power available. Amen. In that John chapter 11, Jesus said to her in verse 40, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? And all these things must happen for you to make tremendous power available. If he says that, I think in Mark 11, if he says that, whoever else will say to this mountain, be thou moved, okay, if you believe, you will receive. Amen. Hallelujah. You stand on the fact that you have access to God. You are righteous. You have a right standing with God. Amen. You must also be in a position where, as you are saying it, you are believing it. And if it's not heartfelt, and that's why I read the story of Anna, that at the point that Anna was, it looked like it was our lowest ebb, okay? And she was talking to God from the depth of her heart. Amen. Fervency in prayer is very important. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When you pray and you don't pray amiss, your prayer will be effectual. Amen. When you pray and pray God's will, your prayer will be effectual. If you look at James chapter 4, Let me read from verse 1. James 4, from verse 1. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires or pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Amen. Hallelujah. So one of the ways to get God to answer is to ensure that when you are asking, you are not asking amiss. So it's possible for a righteous man to stand and be asking amiss. So if the fervency is not based on God's will, there's not going to be any power that is going to be made available. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It works like medicine. Amen. As long as you can enact the will of God in the place of prayer. So the questions we'll be asking ourselves, it's no longer about you being a righteous man. Amen. But if you are not saved, you are not born again, you need to ask yourself that question. Because the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So once we satisfy that condition, we are fine. Hallelujah. But as righteous men, you will be finding, am I praying in the will of God? And the fervency, there is no distraction. When Kenny was speaking this morning about, is it Matthew 12? In that verse that he was talking about, what verse is that again? What? Last verse. Matthew, sorry, it's 20. Thank you. And the last verse. It can't be the last verse, Kenny. Don't worry, I've seen it. He said, then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, from verse 31. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Amen. That's fervency. Hallelujah. That's fervency. He said they cried out the more. They could not be distracted. They were focused. Hallelujah. And it's very, 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 very important. Once your prayer is with its intensity, once your prayer is with intensity and is backed on by the Spirit of God, you are going to make tremendous power available. Don't pray emergency prayer. You know emergency prayer? Eh? Do you know emergency prayer? You don't know emergency, but you know what an emergency is. It's a now prayer. Hallelujah. A prayer that is not based on any relationship with God. God, the way God does, God works. He goes ahead of you. He knows the things that are to come. Amen. But if you stay in the place of prayer, He will show you those things that are to come if you walk by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't catch it, it's not God's fault too. Amen. And I've learned one thing in life. So you have to learn the way God deals with you. Last week, I wanted to travel. And usually, I travel very early. If whatever you're going to do is 2 p.m. or whatever, as long as I have to travel, I will hit the road latest 8 a.m. and I'll be going. I find other things to do before I must get to that venue before that time. And I always agitate that I must leave. And then I get angry if I'm being delayed. But then God dealt with me many years ago that is when He's dealing with me and trying to tell me that you're not supposed to leave now. Eh? He brings things my way that I must attend to before I leave. So sometimes I just get angry. Why are you people just coming out? Blah, blah, blah. But I must attend to it. Then by the time I get to where I'm going, I've not discovered why God was giving me that delay. So each time I want to travel, number one, I just say, am I supposed to leave now? If you come to me and say, Pastor, you are traveling tomorrow, I'll tell you I don't have a time to travel. Everybody say, he's not planning his life. It's the same story about the denarii. It's between me and God. Say, he's not planning his life. How can he say he doesn't know? He doesn't want to carry me. This pastor is selfish. That's what you'll be thinking. That's what you'll be thinking. But that's not how it happens. Because until I get that signal, I cannot move. Anna left the prayer because she received a signal and her countenance changed. The Bible says she left a happy woman. If they are fervent in spirit, not letting things go in the spirit, you will see that much things will happen around you when you pray. Amen. Nothing happens to us by chance. Nothing happens to us by chance. Same thing happened yesterday. I wanted to travel and there was so much delay. And if I'd left at the time I was going to leave, I would have made a lot of mistakes when I got to where I was going. But because I knew that these are checks for me, you have to understand the way God deals with it. Because I knew that these are checks for me, I stood calm. I said, okay, we'll do it the way you want us to do it. So we moved. I said, no, I mean, it's not the person I was moving, but I was talking to God. We'll do it the way you want us to do it. And when I got to where I was going, everything aligned. If I'd left earlier, things would not have been like that. Amen. Your place of stronghold is in that your quiet time with God and a place of prayer. If you will not pour your heart out to God. You see, when you are being fervent and you are pouring out your heart to God, it's not a time to be in a hurry. Eh? I don't know. See, I don't know how to sit down and talk with people for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I don't know how to do it. If Mr. Sade wants to talk to me now, I say, we want to talk, let's sit down. I will stand up. Because I don't know how to sit down. So the way our mothers talk, when I was growing up, mom would say, Olumuwa, come, we'll go to our room. They sit down. We sit down. When she starts, Mama, this is getting too long. I'll stand up. She said, sit down. I'll stand up. She said, sit down. I'll sit down again. I said, there are other things to be done. What is it? What exactly do you want to see? See, I don't see all the stories around what you want to say. There's always something. Is that how you say, I don't want you to do this thing as a son? Then they will start from their own experience and come down, go to their father's experience, then come down and say, Mama, what are we saying? We are not discussing. I don't know how to sit down. But you see my junior brother, that boy knows how to sit down. So when she says sit down, in fact, she doesn't tell him sit down. He will go and sit down. Then they start talking and talking and talking and talking. He's the one that has more stories than me. Because me, I'm a now person. Guy, we are moving. What are we doing? What do you want to say? Don't do it. Okay, no problem. Why should I not do it? Okay, fine. Let's go. But no, I don't know how to do that. But with God, you have to sit down. Hallelujah. You have to sit down in His presence. And you have to have that heart-to-heart talk with God. See, many things that we call lack is because we are not hearing Him or waiting to hear what He has to say. Amen. You're not waiting to hear what He has to say. All you want to go to Him is say, God, I want sneakers. You know, like children. You know, children. Daddy, I want chocolate. Okay. You're not having chocolate. Why? You're not having chocolate. But it's not good now. It's not fair what you're doing. That's what we're all doing to God. Say, no, you're not having. Say, that is not fair. Why wouldn't I have chocolate? No. Sit down. And have your child. Did you think that God did not know that Anna did not have a child? Or she had to get to the point where she will understand that, you know what, this one that I'm holding in my hand is not mine. Until Anna got to that point and said, God, when I give back to Him, it's yours. It was the right time. Because if she had had Him, she would have been using Him as competition with Penina. Say, I've given Him what you want. They're going to be like Jacob and his wives. This one, I say, yeah, go and give back. Then this one, say, yeah, go and give back. And then you cause problem for the man. Amen. God puts things in our hands when we have the right attitude in our heart to manage what He has given, is giving to us. If anything is going to be effectual, is that you have an understanding of what you are asking for. In Matthew chapter 20, we read that the mother of Zebedee was asking. And God said, you don't know what you're asking for. If you do, you will not be asking like this. Because there are limits to everything. And there are conditions to you asking God. The first condition has been met. You have access to Him. That's why we say, Father, we have confidence by the blood of Jesus to come into the place where you are. That one is fine. But when you even get there, you cannot be talking anyhow. Because if it does not align with His will, it will just be like He's not hearing you. Amen. And that's why this is a new month. Every month is a milestone. Every month is a milestone. Every day is a milestone. Every week is a milestone. Don't worry. That's why every time now, everything is happy. When you wake up, you see happy new month. You see happy new day. You see happy new week. Don't worry. There are milestones. And when you see that, just remind yourself that it's a new start with God. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are what? New every morning. Amen. So yesterday's love has expired. Whatever you have done yesterday, God comes with a new slate and begins to deal with you as a newborn. But when you are with Him, learn to sit down and have that rapport with God. And once you are able to understand and you are able to tell God the right things, Hallelujah. Then you see that things begin to happen. It's not that he's not willing to do it, but your part is very important. Because, see, why do you think regulations say that a child cannot drive except he's 18 years old? Why? I will tell you. When we were in school, 14, 15, 16. So the school I went to, they were all these Ajebo children. They would get their father's car at the age of 14, they'll bring it to school. When they bring them to school, we'll go to the field. Where's that boy? We'll go to the field. And then one guy will say, come and see stunt. He will take the car, use it to draw circle at 100 kilometers per hour because he's a child. He does not understand the implication of what he's doing. When you get to the road, when two of them they will be doing competition. Other cars are coming. Say, no. Ah, that guy can be better than me. And then an accident will happen. But they expect that at the age of 18, you are able to make the right decisions. And then you are able to, but in this Nigeria, even people at the age of 50, they can't make the right decision on road. Maybe they should change it from 18 to maybe like 25. It's true. Yesterday, I was in traffic. And it was bumper to bumper. I don't know why we drive like that. This one didn't want this one to pass. This one didn't want. And then one trailer with gravel was passing. And I allowed this guy to pass. And two guys were struggling for the space behind me. This one was using his bumper to hit the butt of my car. Because he didn't want this one to come in between. I had to get down. I said, guy, are you okay? Because I couldn't understand. Because you don't want another man to come. You were now using your bumper to push. It was pushing my car. Why are you driving? If you cannot manage things, it shouldn't be in your hand. And God is very faithful. He deals with us in that way. If you are not ready for it, He won't allow you access to it. So when you see that you are not being allowed access to what you're asking God, you need to ask God, what am I not doing right? It's not that God doesn't. He says He wants you to have the best of things. He says everywhere Christ went, He was doing good. Hallelujah. But the good He was doing, they were being drawn by the faith of those people that He was meeting. Even when He met a crowd, the Bible says He was filled with compassion for them because they had been with Him for 3 days. And the compassion was that they were listening to what He was saying and they were soaking it in. So their faith was drawing Him onto them. If you will pray and pray to God, let it be that it is embedded in God's word. He hears and He listens. Even Christ, that's why I read the story of Lazarus, even Christ prayed to God before things happened. So when you say, so it is safe to assume that for every time that Christ was performing a miracle, He already prayed about it. We just don't have that record. But this particular one, we have that record. The Bible said He was groaning in the spirit. And then at the point He said, Father, I thank You because You hear me always. And because it's the will of God that we all stay in health, when it comes to some things, God will answer. If you want to see power available, pray in the will of God. Pray the word of God. For every situation that you find yourself in, there's a word of God that is relevant. If you get that word and you pray it, you'll be the best for it. Hallelujah. Let's rise on our feet. Let us talk to God this morning. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I think Pastor Shalu came and said that a shepherd always has his eyes on the sheep or the flock. And the one that is going astray, that shepherd will break his leg. Abi. So that he will not go astray. And then after breaking his leg, he will carry it on his shoulder. That means that the two of them, they are fine. Guy, are you okay? You are okay. Don't worry, this is your leg. You'll be fine. But you are not going astray anymore. If he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then you have passed the place of need. Because want is a desire. Needs are critical. If the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that means he will make provision for everything that we need. But we have to move from the place of now, place of progression in God, building up our relationship and being able to commune with God in the place of prayer. Let's thank him this morning. I don't know what you want to take to God, but just talk to him. Like, God, indeed my lifestyle with you will change from now on. I will have a lifestyle especially with you. You know, people tell you they have different lifestyles. Some people have lifestyle outside of the home. But yet, that your lifestyle with God speak volumes of the God that you serve. Let him expose yourself to the word of God. You expose yourself to his will. And then we begin to see things happen. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. He sees the heart and he knows the intent. And that's why in the book of James, he says that if you pray, you ask amiss, because you ask for your own selfish interest. Let your asking align with God, because God is not selfish. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We magnify your name. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word that we've heard. Thank you because in the place of prayer, we are not in a hurry to get up until we have that release in our spirit in Jesus' name. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. And we thank you, Lord, because we have the mind of Christ. We thank you because everything that we do subsists in Christ. He's our mediator. And we thank you, Lord, that every time we come to you in prayer, because we have that access, it will be that we live with an answer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we are not going to come before you with unbelief, but most importantly, with a heart that is full of praise. We give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Take the communion this morning. Today is the first Sunday. We'll take it. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read from verse 23. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the cup, is the new covenant in my blood. These two, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. When you see the communion, first thing that comes to mind should be Christ. Hallelujah. And then you begin to ruminate on the man Jesus and what he has come to do. He says, this is my blood, drink. This is my body, eat. But we receive salvation by virtue of the shedding of the blood. Hallelujah. I thank him because indeed that which he has done remains permanent and we are not going to crucify him again. Hallelujah. He said he blessed it and gave it to them. Take it. This is my body. As we take it, the very life of God flows on the inside of God, of us. We exchange our life for his. Amen. And we exchange our strength for his strength. Father, we thank you. We bless these elements. Thank you because we take them with understanding that of a truth, this is done in remembrance and in alliance with the word that you have given to us, in obedience to the word that you have given to us. Everlasting Father, we give you our praise. Thank you for everyone, that from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, we will receive anointing fresh in Jesus' name. And thank you, most importantly, we have an understanding of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. And even though in living and in dealing with people, even as a community, we have that one body that we share will be prevalent in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.